Today's February 25th, 2015. This is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today we're doing a public hearing on House Bill 5002 and House Bill 5003. Before we open a public hearing, we'll turn it over to Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, I just wanted to note that there is a response from yesterday about there was a question about sage grouse conservation efforts and how much the federal government has spent on the effort, and the department provided some information that is saved under yesterday's hearing date.
All right, and so at this point, it looks like we have around 17 to 18 people testifying, so we'd ask that you keep your testimony to around 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Okay, it's going to be an all-day hearing. So, buckle in, Hansel.
All right.
So, we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 5002 and House Bill 5003. And we'll call up Rod Friesen and Tom, Salzer. Hope I got that right. Find out shortly. If you could just state your name and begin when you're ready.
Sure. Dear Co-Chairs Devlin, Rayfield, and members of the Ways and Means Committee, Subcommittee on Natural Resources, for the record, my name is Rod Friesen. I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing at Truett Family Foods in Salem, Oregon. I'm here in support of the Governor's recommended budget for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Truett has utilized the services of ODA, particularly the marketing program, for over many years. And for a variety of reasons. Over the past 43 years, Truett has benefited from ODA marketing services to help grow our local, regional, and international sales markets through inbound and outbound missions, as well as addressing food processing issues. Most recently, in 2013, Truett Brothers, which has been in operation in Salem for over 40 years, evolved into two separate entities. Truett Brothers, Inc. develops co-pack products, and Truett Family Foods develops branded products with a focus in both food service and retail markets. Over the past year and a half, Truett Family Foods has developed an innovative line of natural shelf-stable hummus and white bean puree dippers that are ideal for both the retail, airline markets, and most significantly, K-12 food school markets. And I brought a couple examples of those so you can see what we've done. The work ODA has done in developing K-12 markets through the Farm to School program, specialty crop, block grants, projects, and related activities has transformed school lunch in Oregon as a result nationally. For example, based on the most recent USDA Farm to School census, Oregon schools lead the country in the percentage of school food money that is spent on local foods. This is a testament to the significance of a state legislative body that is supportive of Farm to School. Alongside the local market development activities of the state agencies and partners in the public and private sectors. In fact, the strides in the K-12 farm to school market and simultaneous changes in the distribution system supported by ODA activities has fueled the way we think about all of our markets and how we position ourselves within them. The strength of the K-12 market at home and across the country has given us the signal we need to create this new line of K-12 market ready hummus and bean dips. For the foreseeable future, that new line of product will be very important as we grow our business. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. No questions. All right. And before we start, we need one more chair, or two more chairs, possibly.
I'm fine, sir. Thank
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. It's going to be a long one.
Sitting too.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Thank you again for your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Tom Salzer. I'm the general manager of the Clackamas County Soil and Water Conservation District. Since I submitted my written testimony yesterday and it's in the record, I'll cut this short in the interest of time and respect for audience members and for the committee. I'm here to speak on behalf of House Bill 5002 in support of ODA's budget. We were one of two districts in the state selected by ODA to participate in their strategic implementation area focus, or SIA. I think you've probably already heard some report about that from ODA. We expected some blowback from our local community. We didn't get that, and we didn't get it because ODA staff worked with landowners very graciously and proactively to find some problems, and then we worked with those landowners and ODA to resolve those problems. So that's my major point one. ODA is a great partner for us. We look forward to your support for their budget. The second point is that OEB lottery dollars that flow through OEB and ODA are very vital to our mission, and we appreciate your support for that too.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Salzer? All right, seeing none, thank you guys very much. And we'll call up Angie Blacker and Annalise Kohler. You guys want to go ahead and state your name and begin when you're ready.
Chair Devlin, Chair Rayfield, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Angie Blacker, and I am the Executive Director of both the Oregon Seed Association and the Willamette Valley Specialty Seed Association, representing the grass and specialty seed markets. The Oregon Department of Agriculture provides programs that benefit the grass and specialty seed industries here in Oregon. These programs allow our members to sell their seed in local, regional, and international markets, contributing more than $378 million to Oregon's economy each year. We wouldn't be nearly as successful without the regulatory framework and services of ODA. For example, the Market Access and Certification Program, which includes regulatory oversight, inspections, seed sampling and testing, and phytosanitary certificates, is critical to our industry. International export would be impossible without this program. Additionally, the plant health programs that monitor and inspect for pests and diseases ensure that the product we sell is clean and in compliance with the rules of other states and countries. Overall, the department provides a foundation for all of us within the industry to be successful. OSA and WVSSA appreciate the coordination of ODA with agencies in other states that ensure that we have the ability to move our product. These are all vital programs that the department provides that benefits the industry. On behalf of OSA and WVSSA, I ask that you support the governor's recommended budget for ODA. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Blacker?
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. My name is Annalisa Kohler, and I work for Oregon Food Bank. We are here today to take time to express our support for Oregon Department of Agriculture. We work very closely with the agriculture industry at the food bank. We work with farmers, producers, processors, and retail. Just this year alone, we distribute over 87 million pounds of food to communities in need throughout Oregon. The vast majority of these donations came from private sources, and these sources depend on a healthy agriculture industry. We know that ODA plays a key role in supporting this industry, and we could not do the work we do without their support. We have also partnered with ODA directly on a number of issues, including the crop donation tax credit, livestock donations, and home baking businesses. Throughout all of our work, ODA has been a fantastic partner, easy to work with, and supportive of our anti-hunger work. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Hensel.
Annalise, what was the amount of the pound, volume, the quantity of food that the food bank distributed?
The OFB, 87 million pounds of food.
87 million, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions? With that, thank you very much. And we'll go ahead and call up Peggy Lynch and Angela Crowley-Couch.
Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity this morning, and I have to say to the entire legislature, thank you for OLIS and the increased opportunity for us to watch when we're not sitting in the room. It was very helpful last evening as I listened to yesterday's presentation. The League has strong positions related to protecting agricultural lands, to assuring abundant clean water for all, assuring our public facilities are not damaged by invasive species, which would cost us millions, and that government has a responsibility for public safety. I want to acknowledge Director Koba and her staff for their effective and enthusiastic advocacy for agriculture and Oregon's agriculture. We really appreciate the work that they have done. Director Koba reminded us at a recent legislative committee that we won't have enough agricultural land worldwide to feed the expected 9 billion population by 2050. So the League works hard to preserve Oregon's valuable farmland, not just in the Willamette Valley, but all over Oregon. Oregonians can be proud of the fact that we actually saved lands that now supply the world with exceptional quality wines, for instance, lands that frankly had been slated for development. Industrial agriculture is about 15% of Oregon's economy. It is the most stable of our industries, with diversified crops and products that have weathered economic ups and downs. We support POP 310 related to strengthening the program to help the agricultural community as it addresses water quality. As we are experiencing a changing climate with less snowpack and even at this point less moisture for our rivers and streams, it is important that we address the fact that the solution to pollution is dilution is not going to happen this year. So we have to figure out ways to do it differently. We are concerned by the KPMs that you saw, 12A and 12B. The graphs are not going in the right direction. We have got to see more aggressive work to make sure that this program actually achieves the results that we all want. We support POP 320 regarding the additional funds for the Invasive Species Council. You all have heard lots about how important that program is. In 2013, we supported additional staffing in other natural resource agencies due to increase in increased expectation that they participate in regional solutions. Therefore, we can support POP 410. However, we do note that in 2013 that they were awarded another staffer directly related to water supply, which is most critical to them. Therefore, this position really does require a second look as you address the variety of needs in the natural resource program area. We, however, do not support Package 450 linked to Senate Bill 201. We believe that these alignment coordinators, and you will find two in DLCD and one in DEQ budget as well, are just another layer of government, even beyond the demanding regional solutions program. Agencies today work together on economic issues. I see it every day. You heard that during Director Koba's presentation this week. So having this additional layer of personnel, I believe, is, and we, the League believes, is unnecessary. And state monies could be used to actually allow natural resource agencies to accomplish their missions by having staff on the ground doing the work. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch.
Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, I'm Angela Crowley-Cook from Oregon Environmental Council. Thank you for the hearing today. I want to mention in particular three pieces of the ODA budget proposals that Oregon Environmental Council supports. First, I want to echo my colleague Peggy's support of the Agricultural Water Quality Program. We've been really impressed with the focus that the department has brought to agricultural water quality. Like she mentioned, we have declining water quality in the state, which is really concerning. And so everyone needs to focus on that, not just agriculture, but forestry, urban areas, industry, everybody. So we're happy to see that ODA is really stepping up to the plate on that. Another program that helps out with agricultural water quality is the Pesticide Stewardship Partnership. And that was a program that you all decided in the 2013 session to give some money to see that program get started. And that's a voluntary program between producers, urban areas, DEQ, and ODA to actually voluntarily reduce pesticide runoff in watersheds. And it's worked really well. We've seen 90% reduction in some pesticide runoff in the Hood River Basin, for example. And we'd like to see even more money go to that since it's been so successful. So we really support that program.
And lastly, I want to mention the ODA's bill, I believe it's 2443, to increase the cap on the fertilizer. I believe it's the tonnage tax. We support that bill, and I wanted to clarify a few things about the research program that the director mentioned yesterday. We really support this research program, but it's been at ODA for quite a while. In the early days of that research program, and I should clarify, it's funded by the tonnage tax. And in the early days, there were hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants given out both to public entities, private entities, producers, to research fertilizer runoff, how that could be reduced, really efficiency and right-sizing fertilizer use. And we really support this work. So do producers. No one wants to spend money on fertilizer that they don't need to and then deal with a water quality program down the road. So this is a great grant program supported by a lot of folks. Unfortunately, those early days of a lot of funding kind of stopped, and ODA went through a period where the grant program wasn't funded at all. In recent years, it was funded to about, but much at a much lower rate, about $80,000 in grants every year. So Oregon Environmental Council is working with Representative Clem this session to bring back that grant program, really revitalize it to its earlier glory days of a lot of money. And we should do that because Oregon is lagging behind other states in funding this type of research. We're actually a very small in comparison to what other states spend on fertilizer efficiency research. So we'd like to see the legislature go above and beyond what the department has suggested and really make a serious commitment to the fertilizer research grant that they have at the department. Thank you a lot.
Thank you both. So are there any questions? Matt, thanks again. Go ahead and call up Glenn Kolb and Katie Foss, I believe.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members, my name is Glenn Kolb. I'm director with the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, a membership-based nonprofit, 1,000 members across all regions of the state, and practicing clinical medicine, research, laboratory medicine, regulatory oversight, too. And we're here, and I'm here in support of ODA's budget on behalf of also of Animal Health Program. Certainly, we wish to receive additional support for them. I'm going to comment on a couple things. Because the animal health program, one of its functions is really to enhance economic production and viability. And part of that is by controlling and eradicating animal diseases, but also, and that includes those that are transmissible to humans. As part of their function, it's necessary to keep the state's livestock healthy, to maintain a safe food supply, but also support public health. And so there's a concept that has been discussed in veterinary medicine, I think in human medicine as well, of one health. And it's really not talked about. I don't think we always recognize it. The public doesn't always recognize that. But there's an intersection between human health and animal health. So when we think of agriculture, we think of animal health. Animal health is human health in many respects. And the mission of Animal Health Program is to help ensure livestock health and safety, but there also is that crossover to human health. You know, one of the challenges with Animal Health Program, and really an urgency for more resources, in 2012, the USDA Veterinary Services in Oregon disappeared. Federal changes has caused us concerns, and also with Animal Health Program. As a result, three regulatory veterinarians, five support staff have disappeared from Oregon. They're not coming back, and it puts more of a burden and challenge for Animal Health Program. Certainly with that infrastructure, with that loss of support, Animal Health has really attempted to try to do more with less. They've got a shorter, smaller staff supply. And that has been going on for years now. In the short term, perhaps it's sustainable. But we know in the long term it is not sustainable. It's just not viable. And they will reach a point, if they haven't already, of diminishing returns, of being less effective than what we expect of them, less effective than what is statutorily required of animal health. And that's because they won't have the financial support, stability, which will result in diminished capacity. Animal health's current budget is at a bare minimum. So imagine yourselves in a big body of water, treading water, year after year after year after year. You're going to get tired. And that's what animal health program has been doing, treading water, when they really need to be swimming. And swimming is what we need, support of this budget, but wherever we can get some additional support, will help them move forward and address really the critical needs before the state. So one emphasis again, animal health is human health. There's that commingling and is vitally important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, Katie Fast with the Oregon Farm Bureau. I've passed out a coalition letter with several of the agricultural groups that have a joint opinion around the Department of Agriculture's budget. The Department of Agriculture has a unique mission compared to other state agencies where it does both regulatory and promotion work around the agriculture sector. And it's something that we believe they do quite well. Under Katie Koba's leadership, the Department of Agriculture is a well-managed and fiscally responsible agency that uses both general funds and industry paid fees in a mixture of their budget. The coalition supports the Department of Agriculture budget. However, we have a few minor requests of adjustment. The first is around the Pesticide Analytical Response Center. In the governor's budget, that is shifted from general fund to fees. Due to the unique service provided by PARC, that coordination and analysis of pesticide incidences and investigations, and the broad public benefit that that program has, we believe that it is more suited to be funded by the general fund than by industry fees. The second, which you heard from the veterinarians, is increased general fund in animal health. The governor's budget has an increase in animal health products on their fees. However, we would like to see a general fund match for that industry fee increase. Right now, the department only has one statewide state veterinarian and a half-time position for the east side. We have large concerns that that is not acceptable in protecting both the agricultural livestock sector, domestic animals, and also just general public health, and that an investment needs to be made there, especially when you're looking at issues that we have right now around avian flu in the wild bird population and starting to show up in domestic bird populations, and the impact that that's having on Oregon traded sectors internationally. The third is the wolf compensation program. The governor's budget decreases that in half from the 2013-2015 budget. We would like to see $100,000 added back into that program. We have ranching communities that are really struggling right now in coexistence with the reintroduction of wolves. We're also seeing the wolf expansion into southern Oregon, and so we're going to see more demands on those resources as time goes on. And finally, increased investment in the laboratory infrastructure. Through the budget development process, the department had requested for increased investment in improvements in the infrastructure and the diagnostic equipment at the lab. They also asked for staffing so that they could respond quicker in the lab services. There sometimes can be a backlog at the lab. Unfortunately, they only received the physical structure improvements, but not the staffing request that goes along with that. And so we would request that they also get the staff that they need to run that lab efficiently. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Senator Dimbrough. Thanks, Mr. Chair. And Katie. With respect to the recommendation on PARC, I certainly agree that there should be general fund dollars supporting that because it is a program that really benefits the public good and public health. But why not a sort of shared responsibility model, where, the industry, I think that fees in this area probably do make sense, for at least part of the cost So could you explain that?
Yeah, Chair Rayfield and Senator Dembrow, when you look at the pesticide division as a whole, it is solely fee dependent, except for in the stewardship program, the pesticide stewardship program you heard a little bit about. So I think from the industry sector side, we feel like we're making investments on the enforcement investigation side of the model, but that PARC is quite unique when you're looking at human health incidences and how they're impacted. And so that would be the state general fund kind of match for the whole program, and the cost of the enforcement piece is much larger than the PARC share. I think as session goes on, we would also be interested in looking at that enforcement side and seeing if it is actually adequate and putting investments on that side from the industry to make sure that when products are being used, they're being used appropriately and that investigations are being done in a quickly, timely manner.
Great. I certainly agree with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. We'll call up Lee Bartoloma and Ellen Miller.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, Ellen Miller with CFM, representing the Oregon Wine Growers Association. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak in favor of the ODA's budget this morning. We want to be brief. We just want to echo some of the Farm Bureau's comments of support of their laboratory. I'm here today with Lee Bartholomew, the past president of the Oregon Wine Board and the Oregon Wine Growers Association. We wanted to put in context the need for the laboratory and the increased funding that has been requested. So I'll pass this on to Lee, and thank you again for the opportunity.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the subcommittee. Thank you again for allowing us to speak. The Oregon Wine Growers, I'm Lee Bartholomew for the record, from the Oregon Wine Growers Association. I also own a winery in the Hood River Valley and manage a lot of vineyards here in the Willamette Valley. The Oregon Wine Growers Association is a statewide trade group that's representing Oregon wineries, vineyards, and other businesses that support our burgeoning industry. We have now more than 600 wineries, close to 1,000 vineyards, and produce about $2.7 million of wine annually. Our industry is a $3.35 billion industry for the Oregon economy each year and is accounting for more than 17,000 jobs. We're also proud that the wine grape growers last year produced a crop with a total value of $128 million, making wine grapes the number one fruit crop in Oregon. We have a strong collaboration with the ODA, and we understand the importance of a well-funded ODA and support its budget priorities. Excuse me. We're here today, however, to discuss one important provision of the budget, and that's an increase to the funding for the lab, where important pesticide testing occurs. Let me give you a little bit of context for this. We've had an important issue that's been going on for lots of years, actually, in the industry, and it's increasing as our density of vineyards is increasing in the state, and that has to do with herbicide spray drift onto our very sensitive grapevines. Between 2003 and 2012, we saw an increase in the number of vineyards, nearly double to 25,000 acres. And with this acceleration, we have more conflict with other agriculture around us. Herbicide spray drift damage has become the number one natural resource priority for the wine industry. Over the past year, we've worked collaboratively with the ODA and many other stakeholders in the agricultural community on a campaign to eliminate spray drift damage to our sensitive crops. Our efforts thus far have focused on education and outreach and promotion of a meaningful neighbor-to-neighbor communication, which we think is the most important part of this. We're coming up on a critical time of the year, especially with this weather, early spring when grapevines will go through bud break, and this is the time when our vineyards are most sensitive to spray drift. We're committed to this education and outreach program, and we're here today to underscore that the ODA's regulatory laboratory needs additional resources to help serve our agricultural needs. One important tool to ensure our spray drift campaign is successful is good data about the extent of the spray drift problem. This can only be successful if the ODA's testing lab is sufficient to analyze the samples and provide feedback in a timely manner. Once potential damage has occurred, an ODA investigator will take samples for testing to the state's lab, and oftentimes it takes more than 6 months to get the results back. This process is too long when we're trying to determine who may have illegally drifted and ensuring that it doesn't happen again. We understand that the ODA is seeking $1.1 million to enhance its regulatory testing lab, and we hope the Ways and Means Committee considers increasing this allocation to at least $2 million. We think this enhanced investment will ensure that the proper equipment is in place, that the staff is well trained, and there are plenty of them, and that integration information systems and staffing resources are available to serve agricultural producers in the state that need timely lab work done. Again, we're very grateful for the ODA's partnership, especially in the area of our campaign to increase education and communication about spray drift. And increased resources for the ODA's regulatory lab is one piece of this effort, and will assist with our collaborative and collective efforts to ensure that no one in the Oregon farming community is harmed by misapplication of pesticides. Thank you for allowing the Oregon Wine Growers Association to make these comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
Thank you very much for your testimony. For what it's worth, one of the things we did in Umatilla County with the interface of their growing vineyards with wheatland or orchards was working through the Extension Service. We had a local committee comprised of members from each of those agricultural production and worked through the issues locally. And I don't think we had any incidences. So I don't know if that's a model that you are familiar with or have implemented, but it really worked well for us.
Co-Chair Rayfield and Senator Hansel, thank you for that. Yes, it is something that we have looked at quite a bit and would like to model, and we're working through, you know, communicating as much as we can with other people, and perhaps getting everybody to sit down at the same table is the right way to go. It's definitely a good model.
We found that through the Extension Service, they were a good convener to bring the different parties together.
Thank you for that.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll call up Tom Wolf and Joe Rodler. Rodler. There we are.
Go ahead, Tom.
Co-Chair Rayfield, absent Co-Chair Devlin, committee members, for the record. My name is Tom Wolf. I'm here to represent the 3,000 members of Trout Unlimited here in the state and the 150,000 members nationwide. That probably they don't know I'm representing them, but what the hey. So we're here to support the Department of Agriculture's budget, and we think it's a good budget. It provides them necessarily funding and staffing to do the job that they need to do on many levels. In particular, we want to support their funding for water quality staffing, and also for increased, if perhaps you can think about it, because I remember that Co-Chair Rayfield brought up that panel in Corvallis where someone raised in his district, where someone raised a concern about there not enough funding for the native plant program, and we support that there be more funding about it. It's not an area that I'm particularly expert in, but there were some people that felt some real concern about that. But lastly, what I want to really concern myself about is the Oregon Invasive Species Council and the funding for that. We support the proposed funding in POP 320, and we actually ask that you look perhaps at in the future, and maybe this session, if there's enough funding out there, of more funding for the Invasive Species Council. Back in 2009 was what I refer to as the year of the invasive species bills, and Representative Clem, who was the chair of the House Ag Committee at the time, and Representative Jensen from Pendleton area led a bipartisan effort to pass a lot of bills, both for terrestrial and aquatic species, to do something about the problem of invasive species, because, you know, lack of water quality, climate change, global warming, all those things are seen as great impactors on our environment. But I think one of the major factors that's facing us in the future is invasive species, both aquatic species like quagga mussels and zebra mussels that if they get into the water systems can not only impact the environment and ecosystems of streams, but can have a major impact on water pipes, on dams, and cost billions to remove. Invasive species that can get into crops and impact the harvest of those and the weeds there, and even invasive animal species like bullfrogs and others that have a major impact on native species. So we ask that you look long-term at ways to improve the Oregon invasive species. So whereas we've passed those great bills back in 2009, I think we need to really see the Oregon invasive species as an implementer of and driver of a lot of our programs that will do a major work on lessening the impact of invasive species. So we think, you know, we're not asking that they take the Oregon invasive species and create a new agency. We would never do that. But we do ask that we seriously look at increased funding for this, increased ways to make this a more effective council, because Trout Unlimited feels that invasive species is the unspoken threat to our environment, and we ask that there be sufficient funding for the Oregon invasive species to do something about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I live near Wellport, Oregon. I'm here today to testify in favor of House Bill 5002 and 3 on behalf of two of my clients that rely heavily on the Oregon Department of Agriculture for services. First client is Seafood Oregon, which is a coalition of the four ocean commodity commissions. And my second client that I'll talk about today is Desert Springs Trout Farm, which is a large live trout aquaculture facility at Summer Lake. The Department of Agriculture, the current biennium, provides services to the commodity commissions that help us with marketing, food testing, and with the Crab Commission negotiating for a price with our processors. During the current biennium, the Department of Agriculture helped the Oregon Trawl Commission become marine certified for 12 more rockfish species. That's important because in the last 10 years, the public has become very aware of worldwide overfishing. But for about 20 years, those of us who live on the ocean all the time realized that there was a shift in productivity, and we started changing our gear, we started reducing our capacity. And so we wanted to get that word out, and obtaining that certification has really helped our marketing a lot. The Department of Agriculture has also recently started an inland aquaculture initiative, which will help Desert Springs Trout Farm very much. Desert Springs raises about 500,000 pounds of fish, of live trout, that are delivered to fly fishing ponds throughout the West at live fish. And we need water quality certification, and actually the water quality certification is what Tom was talking about. It's quagga mussels, it's zebra mussels, it's New Zealand mud snails. And so when we export our product to other states, they want to know that we don't have those things in our water. Now, our water comes right out of the ground. It's an artesian water source, and so we have a very good track record, and we have a very good system for not introducing any invasive species into our farm. We wash our trucks off-site. We don't ever transfer fish from another facility to ours and things like that. But these other states ask for certification, and it's something that the Department of Ag could help us with very much. In closing, Seafood Oregon and Desert Springs Trout Farm support House Bill 2002 and 2003. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you guys.
Thanks,
very much. We'll call up Bob Schaefer and Jerry Nicholson.
Morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Bob Schaefer. I'm CEO of Noble Mountain Tree Farm. We're a major Christmas tree producer in West Salem, managing over 4,000 acres. And I'm here to strongly support the ODA and its programs. Their knowledge and expertise translate into the highest degree of credibility in their realm, both domestically and internationally, when it comes to agricultural exports. If Oregon exporters have issues, the Oregon Department of Agriculture has a respect both in the domestic and international import community to fix problems, in many cases with a phone call. This is not the case with their counterparts. We bought a company in Washington several years ago and later got out of Washington, and one of the reasons being that the Washington Department of Agriculture essentially had no credibility, comparatively speaking. Over time, they got better and started improving, but they're not anywhere near where the Oregon Department of Agriculture is. The Oregon Department of Agriculture wants to help Oregon agricultural producers. They're continually learning about ag commodities and how to facilitate moving them into new markets. The ODA is extremely important to the Christmas tree industry in their inspection, monitoring, and certification program that allow us to export all over the world. And FYI, Oregon is the number one Christmas tree producing state in the nation. I have personally met with import officials from other countries who readily acknowledge their respect for the Oregon Department of Agriculture and its credibility. Please support Oregon Department of Agriculture so they can continue to support us.
Thank you.
Chairman Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Nicolescu, and I represent the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts and at this point in time also the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils. And I think you've heard a lot about the support for ODA, what they get done, their budget, the success they're having, and we too support their budget, their whole budget, and especially POP 310, the ag water quality effort to meet that. You've heard a lot about their success, about what is going to happen with the new budget and the success that can bring, but I don't think what you have heard is the manner in which they go about it and why it is so successful, and that's because they build partnerships. I'm in a partnership with the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils, and we work closely with the Department of Ag on a regular basis, putting things together, because it's our groups out on the ground that work in those streams, do a great deal of work with agriculture and putting that stuff on the ground that makes ag water quality happen, both the districts and the councils out there. So they do it through partnership. They do it through gaining input from everybody. We have been a part of their new process with the focus areas and the strategic implementation areas from the very first. They brought districts in to talk about those and how it would make they can make it work on the ground. They consulted with councils on how that might work with them and how they might help do some of this. So please support their budget. I think you've got a good thing going here. And the reason is because of the manner in which they go about doing that work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? So, thank you very much. We'll call Jim Jim Welsh and Jonathan Monton. Yeah. All right.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield and committee members. I'm Jim Welsh with Oregon Cattlemen Association. And I think you've heard everything that has been mentioned on the coalition letter that I think you have before you. I just wanted to highlight a couple things that, as you would expect, are very important to us. And certainly the animal health department is, and their budget is very important. We've been supportive of the governor's budget because agriculture has been funded at the levels very much supporting us. And we have a wonderful working relationship with the Oregon Department of Agriculture. We've enjoyed that. We've fostered that over time. And this particular budget needs a few fixes, and certainly animal health is one of them. The East Side Veterinarian is now only partially funded, and certainly if we have an outbreak over there, where we have the greatest number of cattle, our cattle population over there is very large, and so you would expect that we would support that, and we do, and we'd like to see that funded for a full-time veterinarian. And certainly the issue of wolf predation, our compensation program that we have enjoyed after working very hard on that in the legislature and getting the support that we had. We would like to see this back up to the 2013-15 budget support level of $200,000 at least. It has been reduced to $100,000 within the present budgets, and we'd like to see that back up. And certainly supporting the rest of this letter and our partners in their efforts to make some of those fixes in the budget. And we certainly appreciate your time, and thank you for offering the time for us to give some testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jonathan Manton, and I'm here testifying today on behalf of Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch has been a nonprofit river conservation group dedicated to the protection and restoration of natural flows in Oregon's rivers since 1985. We work to ensure that water is protected in Oregon rivers to sustain fish, wildlife, recreation, and other public uses of Oregon's rivers, lakes, and streams. And we work for balanced water laws and policies with members across the state of Oregon. And I wanted to just share with you a little bit today, and there's some testimony that's up online on OLIS. Thank you. With a little bit of heartburn we have with regard to POP 450 in the budget. And this is the alignment coordinators positions. And we're worried that when you have new positions to coordinate agency alignment, that could wind up sacrificing agency missions. When you have kind of direction coming to, in effect, you know, get in line, that may not be the same thing as fulfill the mission that we want the agencies to do. So we would be more in favor of working with you and everyone involved to make sure the agencies are staffed with the resources that they have necessary to fulfill their missions, very much support a lot of the great work that our agencies do, but just a little bit worried that if they're told to kind of, if someone's has been hired to coordinate their alignment, we don't know where things fall in the line. And this is kind of also in light of in the Regional Solutions Program. The POP says that the work of these folks would be to align the work of Oregon's natural resource agencies to ensure integration with regional solutions. So the heartburn is kind of, I guess, in the context of some worries we have with regional solutions. So what we've seen there is not we don't have seats at the table at the Regional Solutions Regional Advisory Committees. So, for example, I grew up in or have lived in Bend for much of the last 7 years. Not grew up there. And the Central Oregon Regional Advisory Committee has 11 folks on it, and there's so much outdoor recreation happening in Bend and so many business interests that benefit from conservation values in Central Oregon. Yet there's none of those folks on the table at the Regional Advisory Committee level. There's also not adequate public notice and comment for what priorities are set for the regional advisory committees there. It's 7 days. So we have a piece of legislation that we're working with some folks on in the House to try to extend that just basic notice and comment from 7 days to 21 days. So we're just asking for a seat at the table and some ability to inform folks as to what's going on in order to have a better process for this. So with that in mind, we're just hoping to kind of explain why we're concerned and opposed to the one POP, which is POP number 450, and very much appreciate the chance to be here with you today.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you both. And the last person testifying today, Elizabeth Remley.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. I'm Elizabeth Remley here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Nurseries, and I will be brief because I am last. Katie Fast from the Farm Bureau outlined a coalition letter that we signed on to. We're very supportive of the Department of Agriculture. Katie Koba and her staff are excellent advocates and regulators for the agricultural industry, and we appreciate everything that they do for us. The nursery industry is regulated by the Department of Agriculture. We have separate regulations. We pay steep licensing fees, and those fees go to programs that benefit the industry in immeasurable ways, and we're grateful for everything they do. We would like to pile on to the advocacy for more and more diverse funding for the PARC program, the pesticide program, so that it can be funded in a stable way. And that's all I got for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Remley? All right. Thanks. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to testify today? Last call. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing today and adjourn the meeting.